Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you were here well before we got here. And we thank you that you will go with us. And so right now, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for what you want to say. Not what I'm going to say, but what you want to say. So Father God, have your way in this place. Move in only the way that you can, Holy Spirit. Because if we leave here with nothing, what was the point in the first place? So have your way in this place, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can take your seat, church. I'm going to whip through this at the speed of light because I understand that you're probably like, oh, the preaching, far out. And you've had to absorb a lot. So I get that, but I feel quite overwhelmed and probably should have emotionally prepared a little bit better about that video and Steve O'Brien. That has knocked me for six. Steve and I did Bible college together. Oh, wow. But this is a momentous moment in Macquarie's journey. And some of you might not know this, but I came to Macquarie in 1993. When I was just 12 years old, shout out to the Dixon family. This is my beautiful friend, Mel. I don't know, do you call her Mel, Melissa? Anyways, I had a sleepover at Mel's house and we're doing a school assignment and my parents let me come to church with Mel and then I never stopped coming to church. I went to a different church, it was fairly boring. And then I came here, and without you inviting me and bringing me week after week and your mum bringing me to youth, I should have brought my tissues. I am very grateful, and I'm so glad you're still doing this. All right, get on with it, Amy. So anyways, we were sent out in 2013 to be senior pastors on the Central Coast. We did a bit of a swap with Mark and Roz. Sue, there you are. Oh, get on with it, Amy. Anyway, this house is my spiritual home. It's where I grew up. It's also where I was loved and parented by the most incredible spiritual mum and dad, Mark and Roz. You taught me that our greatest mandate is to love and serve God and pursue Him even when it might cost you everything. The fruit of that was that I learned very early that serving and loving God is always worth it. And I am deeply, deeply, deeply grateful and very thankful for both of you. Even though I probably dropped a few swear words when you sent us out to the coast, I've moved through it. I've spent some time with the Lord. Hopefully I'm a little bit more Christian now. But while I was preparing and trying to not get overwhelmed at the weightiness of the occasion, I felt the Holy Spirit task me with encapsulating why what you've been doing today is so important and why it is so significant. And I heard Him say that this is far more than just a celebration service. This is far more than just a thank you to Mark and Rose. And if I can be so bold as to say that God tonight, if you'll hang in with me for 10 more minutes, I promise you that God will speak and He wants to impart a renewal of your passion for the call of God on your life tonight. You don't need to be the senior pastors. You don't need to be Mindy. You don't need to be anybody. You just need to have a passion. And each and every one of us has a call of God in our life. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to ignite that in some of you this morning, tonight, that have maybe just put it over here because maybe Mark and Roz will do it or Mindy will do it. And He's going to begin to stir that up. But nearly 17 years ago this year, Brad and I gave God one of our biggest yeses. And no, it wasn't getting married. It was 5 months after we got married. We sold everything that we had. We quit our jobs and we moved to Sri Lanka to serve God, whatever that would look like. If you're engaged in the room, might I suggest not doing that? That was the call of God for us. If it's not for you, don't do it. It was ridiculously wild, but we knew that following God and building His church was on our lives, and that still stands today. What we didn't know was that yes that we gave would be one of many yeses that we would give God. Because our going wasn't because we were the greatest leaders. It wasn't because we were the best preachers or the most capable or the most gifted. There are 1,000 other people that could have done that way better than us. But what God was asking of us had nothing to do with our talents. And what God asks of you has nothing to do with your talents. They're helpful and, you know, they get you places. But what he asked us was nothing to do with our talents or even what we could do for him. He was asking for our yes. So as a young leader, I thought, very naively, that you had to be completely confident and never question yourself when it came to the calling of God. Not because anyone had told me that, that's just what I thought. I would think that if you doubted yourself, then God couldn't use you. And there were many times where I sidelined myself on that thinking. I thought that if I lacked confidence, God would overlook me because you need to be confident, because you need to be on the platform. And little did I know that the majority of ministry has nothing to do with this platform. The majority of what I do has nothing to do with this platform. If I can escape this, I will. I would rather sit in a hospital room. I would rather sit in someone's lounge room and have my yes be in there with someone, because it's not about this. But he was asking for our yes. And then I read the calling of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. And if you know anything about Moses, to me, he was always, you know, this hero of the faith. And he absolutely is that. But you might not know his early days, his early calling. Here is a guy who was born with purpose on his life to lead a nation out of captivity and into the promised land. That's no small thing. God hasn't asked me to do that. Praise the Lord, because that nation would be stuffed. But yes, just leave that up to him. But that's no small thing. And you would think, you know, this guy must be pretty sure of himself. He must be pretty into himself to think that. But if you keep reading, God doesn't mess around when he came to calling Moses into ministry. He actually goes next level to get Moses' attention and reveal the call on his life through a burning bush. Now, when God called us to Sri Lanka, he didn't meet us with a burning bush. So I can only imagine what Moses was thinking when he's like, what is this thing? But he's drawn to it. He goes to it. He draws away with God and he's intrigued by it. But if you keep reading for the entirety of Exodus chapter 3 and into chapter 4, we read of God speaking to Moses about all of these glorious things that God's going to do through him, how he directs Moses. I'm going to protect you. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to do this through you. You're going to be great. You know, it's basically a ministry proposal, if you will. And so you keep reading and you think, okay, you know, that's pretty great. And at this point, God's putting forward a pretty convincing plan. And after all of that, you think Moses' response was for sure going to be yes. But what Moses said was what I related to the most, if I can be so honest as to expose myself. He replies in chapter 4 and verse 10 saying this, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And at this point, God's like, mate, I'm not sure what else I've got to put on the table for this to be any more convincing for you. And it actually says in the word, God gets a bit angry. He's a bit ticked with him at this point. And so he goes one more time to remind Moses of the call that's on his life. And Moses replies with this in chapter 4, verse 13. "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Now, I'm not going to lie. This has 100% been me. This was me yesterday. It was me last week. It was me several times this week. You know, surely there's someone else. Here's a list of names I prepared for you earlier and all of their rap sheets as to why they would be a billion times better than me to be here on a Sunday night at such a momentous occasion. Surely there's someone else, God. But the truth is, when I look back, and I say that like I'm heaps old, but I feel like I've been here a long time. But anyway, the truth is, when I look back, some of the holiest and most sacred moments I have had with God have been in me saying yes to him in spite of my self-doubt. And there's been many of those. because I am not the most confident person. I am not the most self-assured person. I struggle saying yes to God sometimes. They were the moments of vulnerability to before the Lord, where surrender takes the place of my self-doubt and my plans bow to His. Because at the end of the day, this all will go. And He won't say, "Well done, good and faithful, great preacher. Well done, good and great building builders." He's not going to say any of that. He's looking for my yes. He's looking for my faithfulness to love and serve His people. Because I know that in any instant, all of this can get taken away. And so I lay my plans down continually at the foot of the cross. And you know what? Jesus is pretty clear about this, about what the payoff is for following Him in Luke 9:23. And I don't know many people in this room, and I don't know where you're at with God, and I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Jesus or where you serve or what you do in church, but that doesn't matter. Jesus says these words, "If you truly desire," and it's for each and every one of us, "if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your own life and completely embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. Giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life." Now that sounds like a really lovely scripture, and we're going to do these glorious things. And when we were back in youth, we used to sing this song by Kate Spence called To Live Is Christ. It's a hectic song, the lyrics. But when I was at youth, I sang that thing with all guts. I was like, "To live is Christ and to die is gain, no matter what price I pay." I wised up as I got older. I thought, "I'm not singing those songs. I know what that worship leader's doing. I am not doing that. You can forget that, Kate Spence." Mm-mm-mm. Because I know what it is to pay the price. I know what it, when God says it will cost you everything, it will cost you everything. He's not mucking around. So I'm very careful what I ask God. I'm very careful what I pray. But I also know the preciousness of my yes and the preciousness of when He asks me to do something, He's not messing around. And so when I live out that scripture, when I look at that scripture now, I remember this, that when the yes is hard, this is all for your glory, God. And that on the other side of my yes is true life. On the other side of my yes is a discovery of what this whole thing is all about. And this has already kind of been touched on tonight, but I feel like it's the crux of ministry. It's the crux of whatever you do for Jesus. Because we talk about ministry and we instantly assume that's the pastors. Ministry is what we are all called to. Every time you walk out of your front door, you are called to minister to someone. That is a mandate that's on each and every person. So please don't think that being the senior pastors, they should be doing it all, or, you know, they must know how to do it better. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. Not at all. But I say yes to Jesus and I trust that He will back me up and the Holy Spirit is going to follow me into each and every space that I'm in. Because the greatest yes, did you know this? The greatest yes that was ever given cost Jesus everything. But it was that yes that bought us our salvation and our eternity. And so I asked God this afternoon, what do you want me to leave with everybody? Because I don't just want to be like, "Oh, you know, thanks, Mark and Rose, the end. We all just go on our merry way." The Holy Spirit was very clear. He said this, "Amy, don't reserve your yes for the big opportunity. And don't hide your yes out of fear of the unknown." And I don't know where you're at tonight, but God is calling all of us for a yes, whether it's today, next week, whenever, in your sphere of life, in church, on the roster, whatever it is. Don't reserve it while you sit there and wait. "Well, when they come and ask me to be the worship leader, or when I get to be the top dog," nah, that's not it. Don't hide it, don't store it. The greatest opportunity we will ever get, church, is to serve Jesus. And I'm doing that right now, this morning, tomorrow. No counter offer will ever top that. So if you're waiting for a counter offer, serving Jesus is as high as it gets. And so tonight, my prayer is that you will allow God to examine your yes. I'm constantly asking Him, "Have I said yes to you, God, or am I holding it back?" Ask Him to show you
where maybe you've got one stored away for a rainy day. You're like, yeah, I'll say yes to you, God, but I'm just going to store it back here. And when I'm ready and when I've worked it all out and I've got the plan sorted, then I'll say yes. God doesn't work like that. I didn't want to go to the Central Coast. I didn't want to leave my church that I'd been in for 24 years. I didn't want to do those things. So the yes cost me a lot. But the reward was so great. And so I want to ask you to ask him what he's calling you to say yes to step back into. And lastly, I was going to do this, but I've had two knee reconstructions and I'm worried that if I kneel down, I won't get back up. So just envision that I'm kneeling down. And lastly, that we would all once again surrender our hearts to his plans and purposes. Because at the end of the day, church, the greatest posture that you can ever have is one knelt before the cross saying, God, I've got nothing but you. I bring nothing. I have everything because of you, Jesus. And so I surrender my plan to you. I surrender my purposes to you. And I ask that you would speak back in your plans and your purposes. And church, that at the end of the day, our lives would give glory to God and God alone. And so Jesus, I thank you for the ultimate cost that you paid. A price that none of us will ever truly know the full weight of. But we stand in that tonight, God. We are here because of that great, great gift. And so Holy Spirit, I pray you would stir our hearts. You would remind us of why we're here. You would remind us of what's important. You would remind us of the bigger picture. And God, when you call us, we would say yes. And we would follow you, Jesus, for the rest of our days until we're face to face with you in heaven. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macroylifechurch.com.au.